You're listening to Wrestling Goons Radio, the podcast show from the IWC for the IWC. And I'm your host, Dan, and we have with me Anthony and Mark. Today, we have a lot to cover on this SummerSlam preview show, giving you our prediction from the Intercontinental Triple Threat match that includes Ryback, Miz, and The Big Show, to the Divas three-team elimination match that includes PCB, Team Bella, and Team Bad, to who will walk out as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Will it be Seth or will it be John Cena? Also, the main event will be Taker, who will get his revenge on Brock Lesnar, or will Brock Lesnar take Taker to Suplex City? But before we get started, we want to say thank you to Max Sports Channel and Power Station FM for having us, as well as our listeners over there. Also, you can check us out on our site at wrestlinggoonsradio.blogspot.com. And listen there. While you're there, you can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube. Just hit the link and subscribe. Now to get into our show, I want to say, what's going on, guys? How's it going?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. I'm excited for this weekend.
SummerSlam has been an amazing week so far for Wrestling Goons Radio, and we got a lot more to get into.
Yeah, 4 hours. Man, but to get started, we're going to start the first match, which I believe should be the pre-show, if there is a pre-show, which includes the four-way tag team match for the championship title, Primetime Player versus New Day versus Los Matadors versus Lucha Dragon. By the way, each one had took a pin from each other. This history goes back all the way to, I want to say, Elimination Chamber, when they had the big old championship match and New Day won. And then the following pay-per-view, that's when Primetime Player picked up the win and won the tag team gold and so on.
Which is where I'd like to say where WWE screwed up, so.
Oh, come on. At first, I don't think they screwed up at that time. Now I'm a New Day fan now. I hate to say that, but I am. But you can almost take away the Los Matadors and Lucha Dragon. Well, you know what? Not really, because it's going to be like three matches of the same thing over and over again. I don't know. Mark, what is your thoughts on this match? Are you looking forward to this?
I'm looking for someone else being the tag team champions. Like, I understand them taking it off of New Day, and New Day kind of more develops and continues their heat, but they've succeeded in keeping the crowd's interest throughout whatever it is that they're doing. So reward them, in my opinion, but maybe they're actually better at chasing the titles because they're getting stuck to by the man and everybody's keeping them down. Kind of like what Xavier Woods said, that every time that they're in a tag team title match, all the odds are stacked against them.
That is true.
How ironic would it be that this is exactly how they wanted the New Day to be gimmick from the very beginning? Like, they wanted to be the group that was being held back and they didn't know why. That's a very good analogy by Mark. I didn't think that would be, like, right when he said it made sense, I'm sitting here going, no, it didn't, because here's the thing. They were as hot as can be. I remember they did a thing on Raw where they were, every single segment was backstage, and they were still celebrating the whole night long over their one win over Randy Orton that they stole. And that, like, I'm like, wow, they couldn't get any more over than this. They finally made it. And they took the titles off of them. It made no sense to me at the time, and it still doesn't, because Primetime Player took these belts, and they don't get pinfall wins ever. They wind up in six-man tag matches, and whoever's in the match with them always ends the match. They always do the dominant stuff. They've been really, really weak as tag team champions, I'm sorry. And as far as the other contenders, I can take Lucha Dragons as my champions, but they gotta get their... Kalisto can talk, and they act like he can't. So, and we all know that Sin Cara can, because he's Hunico. So, I don't know why they don't let these guys cut promos. It makes no sense.
So, you feel that New Day needs to win? if anything.
Absolutely. They're the only team that has something to carry a storyline with.
So, if New Day wins, then we're going to have to get primetime player rematch, and it's going to be a back-and-forth thing. I mean, to me, it seems like you all are feeling like primetime players are the weakest out of this bunch right here.
No, I mean, the weakest by far is Los Matadores. I don't even know why they're in the match.
Right. Mark, you feel Los Matadores or primetime players are the weakest link in this four-way tag team?
Yeah, most definitely I feel like the Los Matadores is the weakest. And then next would be primetime players, and then Lucha Dragons, and then New Day as the top. But I can see maybe Lucha Dragons actually coming out and stealing one somehow from, I mean, because I don't think that they necessarily have to pin the primetime players, but just pinning some team in there. And hopefully that starts a feud between Lucha Dragons and New Day, because I think that that is where your money is going to be as far as making a new face. They tried to do it with primetime players. I just don't think the primetime players got over as much as the Lucha Dragons will against New Day.
Shout out to Dave McCarthy, who's the Ascension will not be in this match of every other tag team in the world.
Send them down to NXT. That's one thing I would not be a fan of is the Ascension. All right, so if Lucha Dragon wins, because I agree, I wouldn't mind having Lucha Dragon win this. However, primetime players are going to have to get their rematch, so they're going to still be in the mix. My question to you, Anthony, is what is your interest level in this on a scale of 1 through 10?
It's got the New Day in it, so I'm going to give it a 5, and if they wasn't in it, I'd give it a 1.
Mark, your interest level.
See, I'm also going to go with a 5 because of the 5 count from Big E, but never mind that. That was a great gimmick, and they dropped the ball on. But, yeah, I'm going to give it a 5.
We're all going to agree because I'm going to give it a 5. I wish I could give it lower than that because it's just a bunch of tag teams, and I feel like this is going to go on for like 15, 20 minutes, and there's just not going to be that many great spots.
All right, so who do you got as the winner, Dan?
The winner will be – I want New Day to – no, I don't. I want Primetime to play to win, but I think New Day will win.
Mark?
I'm wanting New Day to win, but I have a feeling that Lucha Dragons is going to get their first titles.
And this is going to make me so sick. I want New Day to win. I think Primetime players are retaining.
Now, if they retain, New Day doesn't get no more rematches. Shouldn't have.
And here's my answer to that, okay? New Day can say that they've been screwed so many times, blah, blah, blah. They make their own set of trio titles because they are a team of 3, not 2.
Oh, come on. We're going to get the 6-man tag team.
Oh, I would love it. That would be brilliant. Give me some more titles.
This is like so 25 years ago, the NWA days.
Whatever. They need more titles. I'm just doing whatever we can get more titles.
Oh, yeah, I agree. All right, moving along to the next match. We get Ziggler versus Rusev. Ziggler having the beautiful Lana in his corner, and Rusev has the Summer Rae.
Don't say that to Mark now. Mark is a fan of Summer Rae.
I'm sorry, Mark, but Lana's hotter than Summer Rae.
Well, he knows that now. Come on.
Yeah. Go
look at Summer Rae on Instagram, sir. She's pretty fine, but yes. Miss Perry is a whole lot hotter.
Yeah, I have seen some of her pictures on Twitter, and it's like, oh, like, Summer Rae looks kind of nice. And then I've seen some of her angles, her facial angles, like, ah, no, that's okay.
She looks kind of nice when she's trying to look like Lana.
Yeah, that is true. But the history behind this goes back to when Rusev picked up one too many losses, I guess, and Lana just said, you know what, I had enough of you.
Actually, he kicked her to the curb because she made him tap out. And he didn't tap out, even though he did tap out.
You mean when Cena buried Rusev?
Yeah, pretty much. But then he blamed her for it, so he kind of kicked her out. He was like, you got to go. And then he was like, I'll let you back if you just say you're sorry. And she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. I'm going to stand up for what women do. And then they made Rusev look like the meanest heel on the planet ever.
That was
by saying that women are going to obey him. And that's kind of what Summer Rae is. She's the obedient little lapdog. It feels like this whole storyline degrading to women at a time when they really don't need to be degrading to women.
All right, so here's the thing, and this does not reflect Wrestling Goons Radio. So I like this Rusev right here, this degrading Rusev. I'm not saying that I'm okay with, you know, women being mistreated, though, but for the purpose of storyline, I love this character here. Screw that he's from Russia or whatever, he's from Bulgaria.
Bulgaria.
Yeah. Keep him being that sort of degrading, sort of that chauvinistic heel. I love it.
First off, putting his face on that flag is chauvinistic. So that was pretty gangster. I was like, wow. And when you talk about being a heel, I think we mentioned this on the last episode. When he grabbed Summer Rae and pulled her in front of him like this, that's just such a bad guy move. I'm with you, Dan. Rusev is, people can take notes on how to be a bad guy for Rusev because he has it figured out.
All right, so Mark. Ziggler's in this mix somehow in the storyline. I don't know why they chose to have Ziggler or Lana with him or pair him up. What do you think about Ziggler being with Lana?
I mean, how Ziggler inserted himself into this was, if you remember, the second, like, quote unquote bump that Lana took when Rusev kind of like walked her off the ramp going up to the Titantron, Ziggler like rushed out there to see if she was okay and whatnot. So I mean, that's how that whole thing got started. But I think that they could pick someone better or someone who needs it more to be in that spot than Ziggler, but I guess I'm all right with it. I mean, he puts on a great show, so.
That was the episode where Mark said, no!
No, sir. That was actually at WrestleMania when Rusev hit her off the apron.
Yeah. Well, she walked right off the second time. You were upset, too. Like, you both times were equally upset.
So, Ziggler being in this, I mean, I'm a fan of Ziggler, though. I just hate this feud. But I'd rather for it to been maybe she paired up with Cesaro for some reason. Maybe we could see Cesaro and Rusev. That probably would have been a better match. That's just me. I don't know. But my interest level in this match, is I give it a 2.
I'm going to give it a 1 just because I know that it's probably going to end with Rusev losing again when he has no business ever losing to Dolph Ziggler. This is terrible. This is awful what they're doing to Rusev. I got no other comment on it. I'm giving it a 1, and Dolph Ziggler is my winner, and that's all I'm going to say about it.
So, when, I think it was a couple of weeks ago when they asked her, oh, how's Ziggler? Like, oh, he's okay. He's talking, whatever. He probably might be back a little after SummerSlam. I'm thinking like, yes, we're not going to get this match at SummerSlam. And then he comes out and I'm like, oh crap, this is going to be the crappiest match of the night. But that's just me. Mark, what do you think about this? Your interest level on this and who you think is going to win or want to win?
Okay, so I don't understand how y'all can hate on a Ziggler versus Rusev match, because in that squared circle, this is going to be an amazing match. Ziggler sells like $1 million. Rusev is a brute, and Rusev is going to win this. And I think that the storyline that they're going to portray through this is that Lana is eventually going to move on again away from Dolph, maybe to someone else, but she just can't find the right person to beat down Rusev and to like kind of like rescue her and be that white knight. So I actually have Rusev winning this like pretty handily as well. I don't think that they're going to give out a whole bunch of losses to Rusev. And actually, Dan, I think that you might be on to something about pairing Lana with Cesaro, considering Cesaro was the second person only to pin Rusev.
Yeah, like I said, I have no interest. I mean, if I want this storyline to be more interesting to me, I say, why not have Ziggler do something to Summer Rae, where Ziggler's like, you know, attending to Summer Rae, and Lana's like, hey, why are you attending to her? She's the bad guy here. I'm your girl. And, you know, Ziggler's being the apologetic, remorseful guy for hurting Summer Rae. And, of course, Rusev is saying, hey, he's no different than I am. You might as well join me. That's just how I would do it. But overall, I want Rusev to win, and I think Rusev will win.
Yeah, well, while Mark, I would agree with what he was saying, but at the same time, they would have went that route had Ziggler been just the guy on the rebound, like they played it off in the beginning. But then when they made it look like they were in a relationship, Lana's not that girl to just go to the next guy anymore. She's the lovable girl that's committed to him through thick and thin. So that would kind of be conflicting stories. Granted, it's WWE, so we know all about that. So, but yeah, I don't really, that's why I really, really think this is going to be, Ziggler's got that movie coming out. It just makes a lot of sense for Ziggler to get the win here. I hope Mark's right, though. And Dan, I don't want to be right. I want Ziggler to lose.
Yeah.
Well, if you actually have paid attention to Lana herself, I mean, she blasted all over her social media. This is about her legacy. She's been quoted a whole bunch of times that she doesn't need a man to build her legacy. She will build it herself. That's why I'm saying that I have a feeling that Ziggler's not the end game, that she'll move on again and again.
Well, why don't she just join the whole Diva Revolution?
I thought you were going to say the whole train, I swear to God. And then,
hey, if I see Godfather out there and he offers Lana a job, I swear, I'm giving this a 10.
Yep, that went up from a 1 to a 10 right quick.
I'm saying this is the best pay-per-view ever.
Oh, all right, we got to move on.
That would be so crazy. Oh, man. Okay, so we got the triple threat match for the Intercontinental title. We got Ryback versus Miz versus Big Show. The backstory of this started pretty much when Daniel Bryan had to drop the title because he's injury prone. And of course, we get that chaotic, six-man Elimination Chamber match that had happened this past year where Ryback picked up the win. And of course, Miz and Big Show got into the mix of feuding with Ryback. And till last month, I believe it was, Ryback couldn't defend his title. So we're pretty much getting this match that we were supposed to have last month, this month. Anthony, your thoughts on this?
I think it's ironic how you say Daniel Bryan lost the title because he's injury prone, and then the guy who gets the title gets hurt and can't wrestle for a month. But he gets to keep the title, so that's cool. They might as well just say we don't have rules, and we just make rules up as they fit, because it's pretty insulting.
Well, they don't want to hurt their moneymaker.
Well, I mean, technically, Daniel Bryan still can't wrestle, and the big guy was back just in a month later. So, I mean, maybe if Daniel Bryan's injury only had him out for 1 month, then they would have kept it on him, but he's been out for 4.
First off, if you're listening to us, Daniel Bryan, that doesn't reflect me, because I know that you have been cleared to wrestle by doctors, and that WWE is holding you back, sir.
No, sir. He has not been cleared by WWE doctors to wrestle. He was cleared by NFL doctors who know nothing about the squared circle, sir.
WWE, this is a conspiracy, and somebody needs to get to the bottom of it, Dan. That's what I think with Daniel Bryan.
How about Daniel Bryan just retire, and the whole crowd says, thank you, Daniel, and yeah.
Daniel Bryan's chants are more interesting than the triple threat match.
That is true.
And by the way, if it goes the way I hope, The Miz is going to sneak away with the Intercontinental title at the end of this. And if that happens, my interest will go from a 3 to a 6.
So you're technically giving this a 3.
Yeah, because if Ryback retains or, God forbid, the Big Show win, then I'm probably going to have won. So.
I mean, maybe they should give the Big Show this title. Maybe this be his last title reign before he retires.
You know what kind of an insult that would be? Here's your last title reign. The Intercontinental title that everybody loses.
I mean, come on. I mean, they're not going to give him the big belt or nothing. So.
They should. I mean, he's going to have one more run. He should get it one more time, and Kane should get it one more time.
Ah, come on. No, I don't think so. I mean, if that's the case, why stop there? Why not give Undertaker the title?
Why not? One more time. He should retire with it and leave it laying on Raw the next night.
No.
I'm serious.
Mark, what is your interest level in this match?
Okay, so kind of like Anthony's, mine's varies depending on the outcome. A Miz win gets about an 8, 8.5. A Ryback win, probably about a 6, maybe a 7. Big Show win, maybe 2, maybe, like, maybe pushing it, depending on, like, how the story goes. But, yeah, like Anthony, I'm hoping that The Miz comes out on with a victory, but I have a strange feeling that the big guy is going to get the push.
And I know I have been defending Big Show a lot lately on the show, so I want it to be known that it isn't because I'm not a Big Show fan or I don't enjoy his work. It's more that every crowd in the universe has turned on this guy, and WWE just won't make him a monster heel. They're trying to make him a tweener, which isn't working. It's just not.
Yeah, my interest level in this, I think, I don't know, it's like a 5. I don't know who will win, but I kind of want Ryback to win, but I wouldn't mind if Miz does win because he's an annoying heel. So I want Ryback to win, but I think Miz will win. That's pretty, fair. Moving on, Anthony, you have any last thoughts on this?
No, Mark, so who do you got winning the match for sure?
I have The Miz.
All right.
Moving on to the highlight probably of this whole pay-per-view. We're probably looking forward to this more than the two main events. Cesaro versus Kevin Owens. This match goes back since Cesaro took on the U.S. title open challenge against John Cena, where Kevin Owens interfered the first time. And we also see that the match when there was Kevin Owens versus Cesaro versus Rusev and so on. And we all know these two can wrestle. And we know what Kevin Owens can do. We know what Cesaro can do. And we know that now the crowd is behind Cesaro because he's carrying around the brass ring. Anthony, you're looking forward to this, aren't you? Because I know you want this to be an Iron Man match.
Yeah, that's where I'm kind of a little upset. I mean, instead of giving us a great card of, 7 matches with a couple of really good long classics, we're going to get a bunch of watered-down ones. But, for the time limit they give us, that's definitely going to deliver. I'm hoping that it leads to, a number one contendership or something. I feel like both of them are going to make a name for themselves. Cesaro already has... Owens already has, let's be real. He's fine, even if Kevin Dunn doesn't want him to be #FireKevinDunn. It's going to be great. I got my interest level at S8, and I'm going to go with, unfortunately... With all the Cesaro section signs that are happening, he is going to win.
Mark, what do you think about this match right here?
I am thinking that this is going to be a wrestling classic. This probably has really high expectations of being match of the night easily. Although Anthony is right, I would like this to be an Iron Man match. I understand that Kevin Owens is going to go Saturday toe-to-toe with Finn Balor in a ladder match. And having an Iron Man match the very next night is That would be hellacious for any individual.
Okay, but if he pulled it off, I don't care about his size. Nobody could ever question him in a ring after that. No one.
What if he get an injury in that ladder match and he can't go on SummerSlam?
Then I think that they just say that Cesaro says that. Oh, see, that's even better. If, like, I'm not going to say it's better because I want the match to happen. But if this match does happen, what Owens has to do, because I've already established he isn't going to win. When he fought John Cena, he had to prove that he was equal to Cena, that I'm stronger here and I'm a talented here. He needs to be a heel against Cesaro. He needs to take the low road at every opportunity. Whenever you can get out of the ring and break up the count, get out of the ring and break up the count. I mean, anything, the poke to the eye, like, whatever you can do to steal the momentum at every segment, Kevin Owens needs to develop during this story, and it will get Cesaro over more as a face, and it will get him over more as a heel. If he gets injured, that would make it play off where he's, like, trying to get out of the match. He could be like, I would fight you, but the doctor won't clear me, blah, blah, blah. And they could play off of that. So it would work if he wasn't able to compete.
Yeah. So, I would find it fascinating if he's able to compete not only on NXT, but also at SummerSlam and on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, either way, he's going to have, like, back-to-back 3 to 4 to 5 star matches. I'm not going to say 5 because 5s aren't easy to hand out. Both of them are going to be 4, though. I'll go ahead and say that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mark, your thoughts?
I like Cesaro's new look that he has, which kind of leads me to believe that, yes, he's kind of gathering in that the WWE brass and he's kind of being welcomed in. Because if you notice,
Dan said he had a brass ring. Does he wear one?
It's invisible.
No, I'm saying it. Okay, well, he should add that to his repertoire. If he does that. What?
Oh, man. I would love that. That'd be awesome.
No, he just needs to keep that suit because he actually looks pretty nice in a suit.
Well, no. I'm saying wear the suit. But you know how Ric Flair had the gold rings and stuff? He should just have a brass ring on his finger like a wedding band.
Yeah, because it's pretty much a slap to Vince McMahon.
Right, exactly.
Boy, do you really want to be that obvious and be like, hey, Vince McMahon, I'm slapping you with this, and then you end up burying him all over again?
Here's why you do it. Because Vince did it on the WWE Network. So when you make little subtles like that, it lets people know that that's where it came from.
Cesaro, if you're listening to this, I respect you and everything, but Anthony's kind of trying to make you get buried. I'm just saying.
No.
So, Mark, what's your interest level and your prediction?
So, interest level, I'm at an 8. Prediction, like I said, I think Cesaro's actually, I think he actually has the support of the authority / the brass in WWE now. And like Anthony said, the Cesaro section's growing nightly. I mean, it took over like an entire half of the stadium last time. So I think Cesaro's winning it.
Yeah. I think Cesaro's winning it too, but I would hate for the fact that if Cesaro does win it, and cleanly at that, of course, I want to know how this will affect Kevin Owens. Will this kind of push him back or something?
How many matches has Seth Rollins lost cleanly? Because as long as you're a heel, it doesn't really matter.
That's true, but didn't that John Cena match the third time, didn't it kind of like push him back a little bit?
I mean, he's elevating Cesaro, so not really.
So, Kevin Owens is helping Cesaro out.
That's exactly what he's doing.
Wow.
You don't think so?
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, because Kevin Owens was the one that pointed out the Cesaro section on live TV.
Yeah, that's true.
Kevin Owens is the one that started this feud with Cesaro, and they did it because they both had nothing to do.
So John Cena is didn't have nothing to do with either one of them getting some sort of interest from the fans.
Oh, absolutely.
So who is the person in this feud that beat Cena?
Kevin
Owens. That would be Kevin Owens. So technically Kevin Owens is like at least a little notch above Cesaro.
Yeah, and he's always gonna have that. So even when Cesaro meets him, he's gonna say, "Yeah, you beat me, that's great, but you didn't meet Cena."
Yeah. Anthony, what was your interest level and prediction?
I got an 8, but I'm going to go with Cesaro. I think he's winning cleanly.
Yeah, giving that a 9. Moving on to the next match, the 3 Divas team tag team elimination match, where we have Team Bella versus Team Bad versus Team PCB, which is a horrible tag team name or group name. Of course, we know the background of this, going back to the whole Divas Revolution, when Stephanie McMahon called up, or announced, rather, Charlotte Paige and Sasha Banks, and she assigned them to their respective team. Of course, with the Team Bella, we've seen, I believe it was a month or two ago, when Alicia Fox, that's her name, Alicia Fox teamed up with Team Bella. Mark, your thoughts on this match here and the whole history behind it?
The history is great because it started in Atlanta, Georgia, and I was there, and the place was ecstatic. But, calling up Becky, Charlotte, and Sasha was probably the smartest move that WWE has done to their Divas division ever. And yeah, I was thinking for a long time, but no, it's pretty much ever. So we've actually gotten, since they've joined, 2 Divas matches on Raw and SmackDown every single week, which is something that most people watching wrestling, especially Divas wrestling and or women's wrestling, didn't think would probably ever happen. But my excitement level for this is at a 9, and I'm going with Team PCB, which should be like Team Tap Out, really.
Yeah. Anthony?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go with Team PCB, a.k.a. the Sorority Submission, a.k.a. Submission Sorority, a.k.a.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I haven't forgotten. I haven't forgotten, sir.
Kids, do not Google that, okay?
Yeah, WWE, that's typical WWE. I'm going to be a little different here because I don't like the idea that we're having these 3 tag teams, like group women, and it feels like I'm watching Mean Girls in a WWE ring, and that's just stupid to me. Like, I'd rather it be everybody fighting for what they're fighting for, and I know that's what they're going to lean to. I just don't know why you gotta do this to start it out. The Bellas have lost every match leaning into this, and by every, I mean every. They're not losing here. They're winning. So I'm gonna So I was wrong about that. I'm gonna say that the Bellas are taking this thing. And as far as the Divas being better than they ever have, there's no doubt about it. This is long overdue, but it's going to definitely set the bar really, really high for the future as well.
Yeah. My interest level on this is, I want to say, maybe a 7. I don't want the Bellas to win, really. I kind of want Team Bad to win because I have a theory where if Sasha Banks does beat... who she take on at NXT?
Bayley.
Yeah, Bayley. If she beats Bayley and retains the NXT women's title, I want to see a title versus title against Nikki.
Well, if you listen to the podcast that we did last night, you'll know that she is not going to be beating Bayley. So.
I like to see her beat her. But I think PCB will win because I think they have a lot more to gain from this victory here. I think Team Bella has the least amount. But, all right, so just to throw...
I will say, though, back to Mark's point that he made about how we said we would never have 2 matches. That was a quote on this show about 4 months ago from all of us. It was a question we posed, and we all agreed that we would never have a Raw or SmackDown that had two matches, and now it's a regular thing just 4 months later.
We could see three. We could. And it gets me to think, like, maybe, and this is like a one in a million chance, that maybe we could get a woman's main eventing WrestleMania. Who knows?
I've already said that can only happen with Ronda Rousey involved, so.
Exactly. All right, so to throw a curveball here, do you think, and I'm pretty sure that we talked about this before, do you think that with the whole Divas Revolution and how people are taking an interest to women's wrestling now, do you think they should drop the whole Divas name or the title, the Divas title, just call it the women's title?
Now, we went over this before, too. No other company uses the name Divas, so it makes it stand out from the WWE on top of their reality show that they have. It's best for them to leave it the way it is. I don't think it's demeaning to women as other people think it is.
What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I'm with Anthony. I mean, they have it marketed. They have it trademarked, copywritten. Divas are divas, and they are here to stay. And being a diva, quote-unquote, doesn't make you any less of a women's wrestler or a professional athlete than any other moniker.
They might redefine the term.
Yeah. I mean, it gives them character, I guess. But I can understand why some people feel a certain way about the title or the name of it. But basically, we all have different predictions on who will win or who we want to win on this, right?
Yeah, that's the one where we're all up in the air on. I think whatever I'm hoping for, I just want the team thing to end. So whatever we got to do to get to that point, let's do that.
Yeah, I agree. Because it's like, I want to see a Paige versus probably Charlotte and so on and so on.
Well, we all know this is just a way to protect Nikki Bella from having to defend the title. So
absolutely. They're not slick.
Well, not only is it a way to protect Nikki, but also it's a way to get the other divas, besides just your Nikki, your Paige, and your Naomi, established well to everyone, not even, because I mean, like we've said before, this SummerSlam is going to be on ESPN, on all Stewart, and this is going to be a huge show and a huge spotlight for all nine of those divas. Now we don't just get your one match a night between Nikki and Paige or Nikki and Naomi.
That's a good point. We forgot to mention that Jon Stewart is hosting SummerSlam, so there's probably going to be something involved with him there. And there's going to be ESPN there. They're going to be doing all weekend long. Saturday, they're going to be doing interviews like they would with a UFC fighter or a boxer, where they're talking about how this match is going to impact your career and why you have to win. This is, like, so big for wrestling. I can't even put it into words that when you're getting somebody like Jon Stewart and ESPN involved in your promotion, like, you have real legitimacy.
Yeah, and you know what the greatest thing about it is, for me personally, is social media, that I get to attack and defend the sacredity of professional wrestling when people start complaining, like, why is wrestling on ESPN and on SportsCenter? Why is wrestling? Wrestling's fake and all this stuff. I get to come at you guys head, and I love it.
And if you wanted to, like, if you were saying, well, if it's on ESPN, it's legitimate, go watch the NXT special they did, and you'll respect the business a lot more if you don't already.
Oh, yeah, and they also had a few wrestlers be on some of their shows, like E60 and so on, from Scott Hall to, I think they did a piece on the Von Erichs a year ago, so.
And in a couple of weeks, the WWE Network will be airing a behind-the-scenes special of the Performance Center and what it takes to be a WWE superstar. We definitely will be reporting on that one, because that's going to be a must-watch documentary.
Absolutely. So to you guys out there that keep talking about, complaining about how wrestling is on ESPN and wrestling's fake, pro wrestling is legit. It's here to stay. It's not going nowhere. That's all.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Still real to me, too. Is it still real to you, Mark?
Well, it's always been real since my great-grandmother told me it was real, okay, sir?
All right. We agree on that. All right, moving along. We got Randy Orton versus the Money in the Bank winner, Sheamus. I guess the only time I can remember this whole history behind this was when we got those horrible matches on Monday Night Raw a few months ago. But overall, it kind of progressed around Money in the Bank when Sheamus won it, and they just been going at it. I'm not going to say this match is going to be bad, but I'm not going to be too interested in this match because it's Sheamus and it's Randy Orton. So I'm going to give it a 4.
I will say that it's going to be bad because it's Randy Orton and Sheamus. And the crowd just will tune out because they usually do when those two are in the ring until Randy Orton hits the RKO out of nowhere. And he'll probably do that by ducking a broom kick. And I just called the finish of the match.
Randy Orton's RKO, he's like been pretty creative with it lately.
He's been creative with it for 10 years, sir.
I mean, like, that last time he did the RKO and, who was it? He started to give it to Kevin Owens, and then he gave it to someone else this past Monday Night Raw. It was incredible.
Well, I don't care how creative he tries to be. He'll never do as many variations as the Diamond Cutter, ever.
Mark, your thoughts on this?
See, I actually enjoyed their last match for what it was. It was I knew going into it that it was going to be a stiff match, hard hitting. So I'm expecting them to hopefully top it from their last match. If they don't, then whatever. I can see them slipping back down, but
Randy Orton's back hurts a lot when he faces Sheamus because he takes that one spot where he gets Irish whipped onto that little barrier on the outside like 9,000 times.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, that's the only way that them two can have an entertaining match. So, I mean, Randy's going to have to suck it up for one more night. But as far as interest level, I give it 5.5, maybe a 6. But I think Randy's coming out victorious this time.
Hey, Mark said the interesting word of the day, entertaining with Sheamus. So you find this match to be entertaining. Well, you think this match is going to be entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, it's if it does what I think it's going to do and continues the brutality, I'm always for seeing people like beat the crap out of each other.
I will say that it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be last time, so I'll agree with Mark there. But that still doesn't give me high hopes for this one, especially when you look at all the other matches on the card.
All right, so I agree with Mark, too. The last time they were faced each other, and I believe it was Randy Orton's hometown, St. Louis, that wasn't a bad match. In fact, that was a very impressive match on behalf of Randy Orton.
Don't you think the crowd had a lot to do with that, though?
It could, though. But the crowd's going to probably still be crazy in Brooklyn.
This is New York. This is the Hammerstein, folks. They'll turn if they don't like something quick.
And this is a different arena. I mean, I don't want to say it's a difference between being at Madison Square Garden and being at the Barclays Center, but...
So it is. You can say it.
Okay. First of all, I don't like Madison Square Garden. I know it's traditional and big and all that epic, but I'm not a fan of Madison Square Garden.
Shout out to Virgil.
Yeah. But the crowd going to have to help some of these matches out to get us into this sitting at home. But overall, like I said, this match is going to probably be, I have this interest level at 4, and I have, I'm going to have Sheamus win this. Anthony, your interest level and prediction?
Yeah, my interest level is at 3, and I got Randy Orton.
Mark?
Yeah, he said 5.5 and Randy Orton.
Oh, okay. All right, so, yeah, we're going to have to wait and see. The next up, we have this comic book sort of cosmic weird match, but not weird in a bad way, weird in a good way, because we get Stardust. For right now, I'm sort of being a fan of this for the time being. With his partner, the Cosmic King Barrett, versus Green Arrow and the Red Arrow, Neville. This goes back so long ago to the point where we just thought Stardust was crazy because Stephen Amell wasn't really saying anything back to him when Stardust was making all kinds of cryptic promos. This interest level here, at first, if you would have told me this like maybe a month ago, I probably would have gave it a one. But now that this is bigger than the match itself, because it's going to bring in a lot more casual fans possibly, I'm giving this match a 10 on my interest level. Anthony?
All right, first off, this is like the second time now where you've crapped on something that I love all the way through, and then a couple of months later, you're like, oh, no, I like it now. What is? Why can't you just take my advice the first time? When I tell you something good, it's good. You come around on the New Day, you come around on Stardust. Now if I can just get you to come around on Bray Wyatt, you'll be converted all the way through.
I said Stardust for now. Once SummerSlam is over, it's all about free Cody Rhodes.
Whoa. Oh, my God. I'm excited for this. I didn't understand why Barrett was in it until the promo on Monday Night Raw, which was excellent. Now he's the Cosmic King with the ironclad cape. I'm looking forward to it because they're telling a story differently than they normally do. They're adding the comic book effects and making it feel like a cartoon. I like it, man. I love the comic book approach. And that's why I wouldn't change Stardust. That's going to lead to more projects down the road for him as this character. And I'm all for it. As far as my interest level, I'm going to give it a 7 just because there's other matches on the card that I really think are long-term stories. I'm giving it that high because I want to see what Armel can do in his limited amount of training. I know that, you know, Cody and Baron are going to deliver. I'm not worried about that. And Neville will do his thing. I hope Neville dresses up as a Red Arrow, kind of like the opposite of Green Arrow. That's what I would like to see in that. I'm going to go with, obviously, Red and Green Arrow winning for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We will see Stephen Amell at SummerSlam in his Green Arrow costume. And that's going to be so dope. Mark, your thoughts on this match and interest and prediction?
Okay, so I'm with Anthony. I know you're like free Cody Rhodes after this. What happens if he goes up against, say, like another superhero and another superhero? I mean, they do the promotion for Guardians of the Galaxy because Batista's in it. So, I mean, they could quite easily keep this whole superhero be my hero type gimmick going on for a while. So my interest level is probably at an 8, depending on how things go. Like, I am assuming that Amell has been probably trying to train his butt off. So I'm hoping for good things from him, at least a few cool spots or something. But like Anthony said, the rest of the three, we already know that they're great workers and they'll do what they're supposed to. But, yeah, the Red and Green Arrow, Neville and the Green Arrow is definitely going to take this. And it just adds more publicity, like they said, for the casual fan. And the comic book, they need to keep that theme going. It's pretty epic.
Is this the end of King Barrett, or is this a way to expand the character?
Oh, I'm hoping it's the end of King Barrett, and it's the beginning of the Cosmic King. That would be awesome. Because, he could just fit right into there.
Yeah, he can fit it. This could be a legit tag team right here. As far as the keep the comic thing going, I don't know how. I mean, a lot of the comic book movies, there won't be any until spring of next year. So maybe they could bring in the guy who plays the Flash, or maybe the guy who plays Daredevil that's on Netflix. Or maybe when they're promoting Superman versus Batman, they could bring in either Ben Affleck and he could get the crap beat out of him, which I would love to see. But that's for a different story and different time for my personal preference, why I would like to see that. Or when they're,
that doesn't reflect wrestling or radio.
It definitely reflects me. But We could see probably Chris Evans, who is Captain America, or Robert Downey Jr. when they're promoting the new Captain America 3 movie. So
basically, it doesn't have to be anyone that's in something right now. You can pull up anybody that's a superhero on a sitcom, anybody, I mean anyone. It's not hard to do.
Yeah, so the only way I can get behind Stardust now is if they continue on with that until the point where it's like, okay, this is getting boring.
My one worry is that I don't know if he's doing this more as an ode to his father because of the quote, finish what you're starting, kid, which is why he's doing it. I don't know if he's just doing this because he's finishing what he started, but I'm hoping he sees the future in it because this, I'm with Mark. This is way brighter than the future of Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. So, like I said before, I'm giving this interest level a 10, and I'm giving the match one and will win to Green and Red Arrow. And everyone's in agreement with that? Who will win?
Yeah, definitely. And for all the reasons Mark said, for just reaching the different demographic, it's what they got in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm more sad about. Moving along to one of our main events, we got John Cena, who is the United States champion, versus the WWE heavyweight champion, Seth Rollins, title for title. This match goes all the way back. Technically, if you want to be, technical, a little bit last year, TLC, Royal Rumble, when they first, faced off. But John Cena, after beating Kevin Owens, wanted to take himself a step further and face Seth Rollins for not the United States, but the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And of course, Seth Rollins trying to weasel him his way out. During the course of the matches that they had, which was non-title, John Cena suffers a broken nose.
That was for the U.S. title.
Oh, it was for the U.S. title. Okay, he suffered a broken nose, which he won. And he was out for some time, and Seth Rollins being the heel that he is, I still think he's one of the best heels ever in the past 20 years. Cutting these heelish promos until John Cena comes out this past Monday Night Raw and just kills it. My interest level in this is an 8 because there's so many angles that could happen in this that it almost hurts my head.
I agree with that, but I'm going to give it a 10 for that reason. Because I have no idea. Let's go ahead and try to break down a couple of the ways, okay?
Right.
One you have where somebody is going to be a double champion. It's either going to be Seth Rollins or it's either going to be John Cena. I'm hoping that's not what happens because I don't want two titles on one person. If it does go that way, I have a feeling it's going to be John Cena. Now, if John Cena wins, after that, you can either have Ric Flair screw him to have Seth keep the title, because Ric Flair is in town. Now, is he there for Charlotte, or is he there for his own personal reasons? That's an option. The other option, if Sheamus loses to Randy Orton earlier in the night, he still has that cash in. So, if Cena wins for the 16-time world champion, there is a chance that he could only be champion for about 2 minutes, and Sheamus could be leaving SummerSlam as the champion. So, like Dan said, there's so many options. I can't think of anything other than those three or four, but out of those three or four, you got endless possibilities of where you can go. So, I'm going with a 10, and if I got to name a winner right now, I'm going to say John Cena wins for the 16-time world champion, and Sheamus cashes in and leaves with the belt.
Wow. Mark, what do you think is going to happen?
See, I even have one more idea. He mentioned Triple H in there, and he started talking about how Seth's carrying on Triple H's pedigree. What if Triple H didn't like that too much and says that he can carry his own pedigree still, and he gets involved with it? So, I mean, like y'all said, there's so many different ways that this could go. My excitement level for this match is at a 10. But I really don't want to see a double champion. Last time we saw that, it turned into a single championship. So whatever. Or maybe they just keep it for one night. Who knows? And they drop it on the next Monday in an open challenge. I don't know. But prediction, I'm thinking this is gonna be like a no contest. But I'm thinking Seth Rollins wins it.
I have heard that there is a finish that they've discussed where I don't know how they're gonna get to that point, but both guys leave with their title. No, I don't. Like I said, I have no idea how they would get there, other than maybe Flair screwing it up. So
that's definitely my prediction too, because I have Sheamus involved in this. I have Seth Rollins and John Cena beating the crap out of each other, and that's when Sheamus interferes somehow, cashes in. Somebody gets a momentum. They both get a momentum. They beat the crap out of Sheamus, and they both pin Sheamus at the same time, and they both win, and they keep their respective titles.
Wow.
Okay, so what if you have a referee bump, a double referee, and a double pinfall? They each have an arm on top of each other.
Yeah, they both win. The whole ideal is it's Sheamus that's taking the loss in this, and both Cena and Seth taking.
Now here's why that doesn't work, okay? Because if Sheamus cashes in and if he wins, then it's over. Like they don't get a rematch right then and there.
No. He's saying that Sheamus cashes in during the match.
Sheamus got DQ'd, right? If the match ends on a DQ with Sheamus, they've got to ring the bell to start the new match and get with the cash in.
It won't be a DQ. Okay, so I said interference. All right, he doesn't like literally interfere or anything. He just goes out there. He sees them both laid out. Somehow they're laid out. They're drained. He takes the opportunity to cash it in.
Oh, they're going to do that again? They're going to do the triple threat again?
But this time, Sheamus doesn't win.
Oh, I hope not.
Cena and Seth Rollins put their hand on his chest or stomach, and they both pick up the win on him.
Yeah, I don't like it. I hope that never happens.
See, that's not my idea. Mine is just no Sheamus at all involved. They just beat the crap out of each other, and they're both laying there, and instinctively they put their arms on each other, and at the same time, the ref counts to three for both of them, so they're both pinned.
All right, before we move on, quick thought. Is Ric Flair going to have anything to do with this match, Dan?
That's a possibility. That would be option two. Of course, make Ric Flair the dirty heel that he is and interfere and help out Seth Rollins.
Mark.
I don't think that we'll see Flair interfere. I think if he's has anything to do with it, I think it'll be on Monday.
Does anybody else feel like some kind of way that maybe we could see Kevin Owens back and trying to interfere in this match because he still has unfinished business?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me just because that's what he does. But I'll be the first to say that it wouldn't make any sense to do it right here.
Okay. All right, so we all feel that John Cena is going to win this, or we feel that double the pinfall.
Yeah, no, I really don't. Seth. Like, I have no clue. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. If I had to pick right now, I got Sheamus leaving with the belt. I got Cena maybe winning the match, but it doesn't last long.
Yeah, and I have Seth winning the belt, although I think that the double pinfall is more likely now that I'm thinking about it.
Like I said, I like the scenario that I painted out. I say that both of them pin Sheamus, and they both keep their belts. Of course, it's going to lead into another rematch, but I hope they don't do the whole title versus title. But if I had to pick one of these two, I really want Seth Rollins to win this.
All right, so now that we're all in disagreement, whoever will have to come up with a little perk for whoever gets it right that we get bragging rights on the next show.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely gonna rub it in too if I win, if I'm right.
Yeah, we'll see about that. So.
All right, we're almost there to the main event.
Yeah, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for right here.
But we got the tag team match of Bray Wyatt.
Oh no. I thought we were done. Okay.
No. I wish we was done saying that Bray is involved. Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper versus Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. This story goes back all the way, pretty much late last year when Dean Ambrose and Bray was feuding, but it resurfaced during the Money in the Bank when Bray Wyatt interfered with Roman Reigns because Roman Reigns was supposed to be the Money in the Bank winner. And then they fought the next pay-per-view where we see Luke Harper interference and he joins the Wyatt family. Now these guys, former Shield members who are brothers, and the Wyatt families are facing off. I don't even know what's the gain in all this though, but my interest level in this would be a 5.
Well, seeing how we are in the podcast for the IWC, from the IWC, it seems to me the IWC consensus that Dean Ambrose may be pulling a heel turn here on Roman. I don't think that's the case. I do see the Wyatts winning on outnumbering. I think Eric Rowan is making his return at SummerSlam. I've heard that Sting may be at Night of Champions, so it would make sense for the Wyatts to outnumber the Shield and Sting being the vigilante that comes in to save the day in the numbers game.
Wow. Sting needs to stay away from this match. Mark, your thoughts?
My excitement level is about at a 7 for this, just because I know all four of these men can go, and, I mean, the 3-on-3 match that they had, Shield versus Wyatt family, was an epic match, and I expect this to be no different, but, I'm with Anthony. I see Eric Rowan coming back, causing the numbers game to sneak up on them, and the Wyatt family gets the win, which leads Monday Night Raw. Sting comes back and asserts himself with the Shield brethren to help them finally get over that hump.
So you heard it here first. According to Wrestling and Radio, there won't be a Dean Ambrose heel turn, but Dan here, our host, seems to disagree. Dan, tell us why you think Dean is turning.
Because Dean just keeps on... Unless Dean just had a really bad upbringing as a child, he just kept on force feeding us this whole how good friends they are, their brothers, their family, and they're more family than Bray and Luke Harper.
He told you he had a bad upbringing as a child in all of his promos.
Yeah, but it's like, hey, we get it. You guys are like family. Okay, can you please shut up? But it could be Dean Ambrose. We could see Roman Reigns, because a couple of months ago, a lot of people were saying, hey, Roman Reigns could make a heel turn. I feel like tomorrow, SummerSlam, somebody's going to make a heel turn.
He almost went heel whenever he got hit with that briefcase, because he almost unloaded on somebody.
But overall, the interest level, like I said, is a 5. I think the Wyatt family will win due to the fact that someone's going to make a heel turn. And I do not think that Sting is going to show up, nor do I think he's going to show up on Monday Night Raw the next night.
And you got Eric Rowan interfering.
No, because I don't even know what's wrong with Eric Rowan. He's been out for some time, and we don't know the severity of his injury. So, no.
Okay. I got it at a 6, and I'm going to go, with the Wyatt winning by outnumbering.
However, now that I think about it, if Eric Rowan shows up, that will make things interesting. And if... Okay, so now I'm just having whole crazy thoughts.
We just told you why it all made sense. Like, we broke it down step by step. We connected the dots all the way through Night of Champions.
Let's have a Shield reunion. Because what if Seth Rollins loses his title and
you gotta realize that Seth Rollins is bigger than any group now. Like, he's above that.
All right, you know what? Maybe, I don't know. We just have to wait and see. I still feel like the Wyatt family is gonna win. Somebody's gonna make a heel turn. I wouldn't mind seeing Eric Rowan's comeback.
I know
back.
You don't want Sting in this role, but Sting has done this role in every company he's been in where somebody get outnumbered and Sting's the guy that pops up and says, well, I'm not going to stand for that. He done it in TNA, he done it in WCW, he done it in NWA. Just what Sting does.
Sting just needs to stay where he's at with his 56-year-old self.
Oh, my God.
Look, I'm sorry, Sting. I shouldn't say
that. Yeah, I'm glad you said that about Sting, because the next guy we're going to talk about is the same age. So
Sting.
So he even did it in WWE. Survivor Series, whenever the Authority outnumbered the good guys, he came in and helped them clean house.
That's his whole gimmick, the vigilante, that's what it is.
And again, that kind of killed Dolph Ziggler momentum too.
That's debatable.
I mean, if he shows up, he shows up. That's great, though, but...
He didn't show up at SummerSlam. He showed up the night after.
Yeah, if he does that, I mean, it's like, whatever. I'm not going to care, really.
Well, you say that now, but we'll see on the next show.
Okay, I'm saying that now, but when I do see Sting, of course I'm going to freak out and like, oh my God, that's Sting, because I am, like, the oldest, probably, little Stinger in the world. So, yeah.
But you're just saying you don't care.
I don't care until I see him again.
Oh my God!
I can contradict myself at times.
Yeah, a lot. All right, main event time.
Main event: the Beast Incarnate, the one who is the 1-21, and I guess now 22-1, versus the Phenom, the Undertaker. This goes back probably 10 years ago when Brock Lesnar first arrived in WWE, and he basically picked up all the wins against Undertaker whenever they face each other. Undertaker never beat him before. Of course, last year we seen at WrestleMania where he conquered his streak and he took him to he didn't take him to Suplex City, but he gave Undertaker a concussion. And of course, Paul Heyman kept on talking about week in and week out how his client defeated the streak, conquered it and all. And of course, Undertaker got tired of it. Interfered in Brock Lesnar's match against Seth Rollins at Battleground, where Brock Lesnar could have won, but if it wasn't for the Undertaker, he would have been champion. And now we're here. The main event. Anthony, interest level, your thoughts on this. Are we going to get a great match, or are we not going to get a great match?
You're going to get a great match because they're two great professionals and Undertaker. As you just talked about, 155-year-old man, this 53-year-old man is in pretty good shape for a 53-year-old man. So, I think for a while it's going to be good. This is horrible to say because I know he's in good shape for his age, but Brock Lesnar's just not a safe wrestler. And when he does take him to Suplex City, which he's going there, by the way, I'm hoping that it isn't 20 times for the Undertaker's help. Like, I'm hoping this barbaric crowd doesn't say one more time, one more time. If you love The Undertaker and you value his life, don't put that man in danger where Brock can end it.
Maybe New York wants to see someone die.
They're bloodthirsty. No offense to our New Yorkers. Damien will be at the Takeover show. He is one of our fellow New Yorkers and on the podcast, so no offense to you, buddy, but I know how that New York crowd is, and they're going to be bloodthirsty.
Mark, is this going to be a great match or a horrible match?
I'm thinking that it's going to be a great match. I'm hoping that there's not another concussion. Before the concussion and the WrestleMania match, it was actually starting out as a decent match. And once that concussion hit, it just went all downhill from there. But, I'm hoping that it's going to be a great match, and I have no expectation that it's not going to be. Taker looks better now than he did at the WrestleMania match, in my opinion. And
they keep acting like it didn't happen. You know how many times I've heard 21-1 in these promos? He's 22-1.
Yeah, but my excitement level, we said 1 through 10, it's probably at 11, just because I want to see The Undertaker get retribution, like, really bad. But I don't think that it's actually going to happen. I think that Kane's going to come back and get involved, which is kind of shocking because we all know that Taker said that it's because Paul Heyman kept mentioning it. It would have been so easy to have been like, well, you hurt my baby brother. That's all they would have had to say, and then that was on.
The reason why they didn't do that is because they want The Undertaker to be the bad guy. which is why they did the low blow if they do that. It makes it look like they're making Kane have the sympathy vote in Undertaker. Instead, they're going to make it look like Brock has the Undertaker about to be finished. That's when Kane is going to come out. And I think that is going to be their way of saying we gave Kane his Undertaker his retribution. And quite frankly, I'm fine with Undertaker getting his win a dirty way, because even though he is in great shape at 53 years old, it's not believable that he can beat Brock Lesnar in a one-on-one fight. It's just not believable. He couldn't do it 10 years ago. Why can't he do it now?
All right, so I don't think it's going to be that great, especially if somehow, some way, Brock Lesnar is going to have to carry The Undertaker. I do believe The Undertaker may win this. I think he needs to win this, basically, and just go off. However, there's another scenario. You guys say Kane interferes. Let's say Kane does interfere in this match. He has to come back as the Big Red Machine. Two, why not see more of Undertaker? Why not have the ministry?
You will. If they do that, if Kane's coming back, they already have Undertaker on house shows through October and November, so he's going to be around for a while.
So, my scenario that I pictured is that why not have the ministry have Kane, maybe have the Ascension, maybe bring up an NXT guy, which I think maybe we could have Baron Corbin come up, join the ministry, and just have everyone.
Leo Kruger.
No, Baron. I think Baron could probably fit that role. And not have necessarily Undertaker really do anything, just be that voice and be that leader, and everyone does his bidding. And I would like to see that. And plus, it'll help out the Ascension and a new NXT guy.
But we always try to make a ministry, like every time we have an Undertaker storyline, that's what we do. They're not going to do it. Like, I want them to, and you're right. I think they're going to do more in the Brothers of Destruction thing. That's what they're going to do.
If they do Brothers of Destruction, then I don't care for it now. Because it's like, I don't want to see Undertaker like that much, really. Maybe this was like 3-4 years ago, maybe so. But my interest level in this, technically would be like a 5. But if it goes or in the way that I would like it to end, then I can shoot it to probably a 10.
Okay.
Well, Undertaker's going to probably die in the ring.
Oh, my God. The dead man's gonna die. That's a horrible pun.
What's your interest level?
My interest level is basically a 9 or 10, like you said, because that's what they hyped it up for. If Kane doesn't interfere, I got Kane interfered as my most likely leg. If he doesn't, I think that Brock should get the win here, and I think Undertaker should say, you know what? I'm going to lay it all on the line at WrestleMania. If I can't beat you there, if I can't know that I can't beat you, then I'm not doing this anymore. And he goes out in his hometown. He beats the beast that can't be beat. That's how he should go out. Like, if they're going to retire him at 32, it needs to be against Brock, I feel, because I don't think there's anybody else that it could be more important than that.
So this would be his last match, and there won't be a Sting in Undertaker WrestleMania 32 match.
That would be where I'm going, absolutely.
Mark, your interest, you said, would be 11, and you're picking Undertaker to win this?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Kane comes in. I would love to see the ministry, but like Anthony said, I've said a ministry so many times that I'm just going to sit back and watch this unveil. But I do like Anthony's idea that if he doesn't get the job done at SummerSlam, then it should be it couldn't be a streak versus career match anymore, but just technically it's streak.
I mean, it really would, because he would say, I took your streak, now I'm going to take the one you have on me, so.
But yeah, that would make sense, though, because it's like, what are we going to do, put an asterisk next to it or something?
What do you mean? Why wouldn't you put an asterisk next to it?
Or it's like, okay, so now we're going to say technically the Undertaker is 23-0.
No, you wouldn't. You would say he wants retribution. He wants to obtain his loss. So if Brock took his biggest streak, which was the 20 in a row, and Brock said, well, you know what? And no matter what, you never beat me. Then he took that from Brock. So that means he got even with him.
All right. Okay, that's understandable. Any final thoughts for the night?
I'm expecting a great 4-hour show, though. He's throwing everything at this publicity-wise. You got Comedy Central with the Jon Stewart thing. You got ESPN all over this. It's still going to be on cable networks for $54.99. I like how JBL had those flashcards on Raw, like we're all kindergartners. He's like, look at $54.99 or $9.99. That was pretty cool. This is going to be a great show. I am ecstatic to the roof, man. Can't wait until the post show either. We got that coming up after it.
Yeah, you get to hear me if I'm going to go off or not. Because if I don't like something and something and stupid, I will have my rant. Mark, your final thoughts?
This is going to be an epic night. And I think that this night will help boost WWE further on the map. Like Anthony said, all the places that are doing interviews and all the celebrities are going to be there. It's just going to be a great night for wrestling and a great weekend for wrestling.
They finally made SummerSlam what it should have been all along, almost equivalent to WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that. I was going to say that this could be bigger than this year's WrestleMania. Maybe I'm reaching. Who knows? I don't know. This is going to be a good one here. I'm excited. Of course, like every time I think about that John Cena and Seth Rollins match, it just hurts my head because I don't know what could happen.
Lots to get into. Man, we can't wait to figure it all out. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. And, Anthony, why don't you mention about tomorrow you guys are recording the post show of the TakeOver.
No, we just doing the pre-show with that. We're not going to do a post-show for TakeOver.
All right.
We're going to have it for SummerSlam, though. And, so be looking out for that. It'll be up either Sunday night or Monday sometime. So.
And, of course, the pre-show is already up of TakeOver.
Yep. Be sure to follow all of we're all everywhere on social media. So once you subscribe to our blogger page, you'll be able to find every link we have.
All right, that's going to pretty much end our show for today. Once again, we want to thank you all for joining us on tonight's show. We want to thank Max Sports Channel, Power Station FM, and all of our listeners on there, as well as those on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube. And remember to check us out and subscribe on our site, WrestlingGoonsRadio.blogspot.com, and click on the links to subscribe as well as our social media. Follow us on Twitter at Goons Radio. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/WrestlingGoonsRadio, and our Instagram. Lastly, we want to thank Phil Nason for producing this show. For Mark, for Anthony, and for myself, Dan, we will see you when we'll see you.